Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
No.
Neither did I. I was just asking.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Didn't we lock you in a dumpster one time?
I got out.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
That's somebody's daughter up there.
I was just going to say that.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Dynamite, drop him, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
The Fan. I'm just a bad
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Come hang out with us tomorrow. Don't watch that game or those games at your cube with a phone. Come out to the Independent Sports Bar and Grill off Southwest Broadway. Let's party. We'll be out there all day hanging out, having a good time. Drinks will be had. Laughs will be had.
What time's the first game start? 9 a.m.?
9 a.m. By the way, shout out to one of the listeners. I saw this earlier on the text line. Evidently, there was a group of individuals who listened to this show that watched the Fairleigh Dickinson game at a bar yesterday.
Yeah, they got together to root on our fighting Knights, baby.
And they had a lot of fun with the chant of F and N and Dickinson. I'll just say that much.
And they got the whole bar chanting it. Yes. And I said, if you come down to the Independent tomorrow, because they're going to be playing, what, 4 o'clock? Something like that? Tomorrow against Gonzaga?
4:30.
Come on down to the Independent. We'll get that chant going there, too.
There you go.
There'll be some Zag fans down there, too, that'll appreciate that.
We'll ruffle their feathers a little bit.
It'll be a lot of fun. So thank you, listeners, for having fun with that yesterday. It was great to watch our guy, Greg Herenda. I know we don't like to count those games as the tourney, but it does go down in the history books for that school as their first tournament win. So good for him and good for the school. A loaded second hour, which is going to kick off with this. Le'Veon Bell spoke with Jenny Fentress of the MMQB. It was his first sit-down, tell-all interview.
He's getting the big SI cover. They're doing a big feature story on old Le'Veon Bell.
And the picture, if you haven't seen it, it's him with a Jets hat, a sport coat, and he's at a poker table throwing chips in the middle, basically just saying why he went all in on himself. If you have 10 minutes to sit down and read this piece, 15 to 20, depending on how fast you read, highly recommend it.
Yeah,
I read
really
it this
good.
Morning. It was really good. I actually found him more likable, and I didn't know I'd have that opinion because I already felt a certain way about skipping out, you know, not playing at all for the whole season. And I found him more likable after reading this piece. They also filmed this, by the way, and they got video there. You can also watch her do the interview with him. And he does throw the Steelers and Big Ben under the bus a little bit here. But let's get to this first cut. Le'Veon Bell, I have no idea what these cuts say at all, so I'm just going to trust Swigard to play them in order.
Ultimately, I wanted to get a long-term contract and, you know, be happy, you know, go somewhere where I'm happy and where I feel fit and feel value, you know, where I want to get, you know, guaranteed security over the course of my contract and playing football. So ultimately, you know, I got that.
Yeah, he got his security. That's what he wanted. That's what he was after.
Some people are going to rip him because he walked away from, what, $14 million last year, and it would have been all guaranteed. But there was still a risk involved if he would have gotten hurt late in the season. He wanted a longer-term contract. He got $30 million guaranteed out of this deal, and if he's able to stay healthy and if he's able to have some success with the Jets, he can make north of $60 million on this. So I think there were a number of factors that weighed into his decision to not wanting to return to Pittsburgh, and that was one of the biggest things. I don't know if we have the clip of it, but that was one of the bigger things from this interview was that he was never intending to hold out. His plan was to show up week one, and then he was like, well, it just didn't feel great about it, and then he was planning on showing up later in the season, and then there was at one point, I think week 8 or week 9 of the year, right around the deadline of him having to show up to be able to play last year, he was in Pittsburgh, and he was almost about to drive over to the practice facility and just kind of show up. And he ultimately decided not to do it.
On why the Jets, Le'Veon Bell gave his answer here.
Growing up, I'm being a little biased just because I was a fan growing up of the Jets because one of my favorite football players was running back Curtis Martin, and I grew up idolizing him and loving him later, the way he ran the ball and things like that. So I love the Jets. So when I had the opportunity in free agency, and then you know everybody kind of talked about me going to the Jets and things like that, I just felt like the stars kind of aligned, you know, and everything worked out for a reason. So and they made me feel, you know, welcome, you know, talking to them on the phone, and guys recruiting me, and you know, it's just the whole process, you know, it was just, you know, the fans recruit me, it was just everything about it. I had no choice but to go there.
You know, he did get criticized for passing up the $14 million, but he got a four-year, $52 million deal, 25 guaranteed. What I found interesting was kind of his approach of, yeah, sure, I wanted that money just as much as other people thought I wanted that money. And as you mentioned, he flew from Miami to Pittsburgh mm-hmm. and was going to drive to the facility and show up. But he kept having people comment on him, his teammates. They would be like, yeah, I don't like it. He's being selfish. And it just really bothered him. And for that, I really can't blame him. I also can't blame teammates for feeling a certain way about not having their guy.
Sure.
And he just thought it was best to not put the wear and tear on his body. And Pittsburgh told him right away they were going to tag him. He doesn't believe that they were in good faith going to give him a legitimate deal. And he doesn't feel the deal they offered was legitimate, because even with all that money that they showed, only $10 million, the signing bonus, was right. guaranteed.
Right.
And he makes a good point in this piece. And I this is the piece I read about, was he changed the market. Like, people aren't giving him credit, though, because he did change the market somewhat. He's going to make 15. Devontae Freeman made 8. And now Todd Gurley gets that kind of money. He got his contract last year. He thinks Zeke's going to go get that money. Saquon's going to get that kind of money. He just looks at it as like, I got 25 guaranteed. He thinks he can go 4 years, so he thinks he's getting 52.
Yeah, if he plays the whole time, he'll get a lot more than what the guaranteed money is.
And in the grand scheme of things, what did he lose? He lost $14 million, but he got 25 guaranteed. So it's not a given he gets 14 next or last year and stays healthy and gets the same deal. It's right. not. But he gambled on himself. And despite what everybody thinks and what people say, he really feels like he won. He got the guaranteed money he wanted. He's playing for a team he wanted to play for, and he helped set the market for running backs.
Yeah, and on the Jets thing, too, the only part I slightly just, it just didn't feel like there was much of a market there for him outside of the Jets. People weren't throwing that amount of money at him.
Says 3 years, 40 from San Francisco yeah. was the other deal, and the Raiders really was only a text between him and Antonio Brown.
They were flirting a little bit, but it was never to the point that the Jets actually were. So, I mean, he was going to take the biggest deal, and the Jets were the ones that had the money to spend and were willing to give it to him. So more power to him to getting that. You know, I think the interesting part about Le'Veon Bell, and it will continue to be going forward, if he is successful over the next 3 or 4 years, and let's say he fits into that offense well, and he's still putting up the total yardage numbers that we've seen, like, don't forget about Le'Veon Bell. He leads the NFL. He's like number one in the history of the NFL in total yards per scrimmage per game, like more than Jim Brown in just a minimum of 50 games. He's number one in the history of the league. So he's a stud. And if he's able to continue that, I wonder if nothing has changed in the next CBA, which is coming up in a couple of years, and you still have guys getting tagged all over the place that they clearly don't want to play on the franchise tag. If this becomes something that's a reoccurring theme, his whole issue was, and I know it's really tough for people to look at the $14 million and say, like, cry me a river, dude, you were going to get paid $14 million to play football. And I totally understand that point. But his, I think, argument all along was, I have been great for your organization. I've helped us be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. We haven't gotten over the hump, but we've been to AFC title games. Like, we've been a damn good football team, and I've been the best running back in the NFL the last couple of years, and you're still unwilling to commit to me long term. That was his whole point in holding out last year and not wanting to play again on the franchise tag. So if he's able to have 3 or 4 good years, earn the max amount of this contract, and we all look back on it and say, man, he probably made the right decision. He made near $60 million with the Jets. Who cares about the 14 that he walked away from? I do think you're going to start to see more guys, especially on that second franchise tag, if you have teams that are still unwilling to give them a long-term deal and they're right in the prime, they're late 20s, and can still get that deal on the open market, I think you're going to start to see more guys doing this.
Well, I think he brings up a good point, is it was never in good faith, in his opinion, on Kevin Colbert. And he does bring up Big Ben, basically said Big Ben wants to play how he wants to play. He said quarterbacks are leaders. It is what it is. He says on Big Ben, you're still a teammate at the end of the day. You're not Kevin Colbert. You're not Art Rooney. On the subject of quarterbacks in general, Bell says that given the chance to do everything over, he says, I would be playing quarterback. Or he says, in the NBA where contracts are fully guaranteed. He also says Big Ben really is the kind of guy that he wants to win, and he wants to win his way, which makes it really tough to play with. Another teammate coming out and shockingly telling us Big Ben, who he really is.
Like feeding your stereotypes over there.
Like, I am going to die on that hill. I don't care what anybody tells you in the
media
or fans.
What about Pouncey, huh? Teammate coming out and defending him on Instagram.
Yeah, Villanueva and Pouncey, the two guys who will come out and speak on Big Ben. And you notice nobody else really does. It's usually just offensive linemen who I'm sure he's taken out to dinner and probably given little chunks of change to here and there for blocking for him. There's a reason it's the same position group arguing for Big Ben versus multiple position groups kind of putting him out there. Fumbles on purpose, not really a team guy, selfish, egomaniac.
We should have got our boy from Pittsburgh on to have you debate him about Ben Roethlisberger.
What's his name again?
I can't remember, but he ranted so hard.
He was great.
About Antonio Brown. he was completely in the camp of Ben Roethlisberger. He's one of those guys.
Yeah, so Le'Veon Bell does his first sit down on his time with Pittsburgh, and now he is a New York Jet. Hey, somebody makes a point that Mike Trout becomes irrelevant, but what does that mean? Is he really irrelevant? We don't quite understand this one. We'll dive into it next on The Fan. Our Portland Athletics lost their first game of the season yesterday. Well, this morning to the old Seattle Mariners.
How about the Seattle Mariners with the best record in Major League Baseball? Joke's on all of us for making fun of them. Undefeated.
Just realized I can't watch Mariner games this year.
You don't have a root anymore?
I don't have
anymore.
Root.
I can't watch the Root.
No, I got all the Fox Sports channels, but Root, I think, is their separate thing. I don't have Root.
Hashtag where I root.
I'm going to really miss out on those M's games.
Yeah.
When all six people tweet about that Mariner win last night.
Would you wake up if that was the Braves? Would you have woken up and watched them?
No.
I think I probably would.
I'm not observing these two games. This is bull crap.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
This is just stupid. Stop playing this game, baseball.
Right. The part of it that's rough for Mariner fans, though, is the considering the offseason that they had. Like, that's why waking up at 2:30 after trading away all your best players, that is a bit aggressive. Like, if the Giants did that this offseason and they traded away all their best players and then they played at 2:30 in Japan, I probably wouldn't wake up and watch
it. Well, but we know John Sukanik did it, so what's the work strategy? Did he take the day off? And if he didn't, he's been riding fumes since 2:30 in the morning?
Yeah, I remember staying up. There was one when the Dodgers and Diamondbacks started, but that was closer to like 1 or like midnight-ish.
I think it started like, because that was in Australia.
It was in Australia.
So it was probably like 10:30 or 11 p.m. at night.
So I was
that's
a night
doable,
out.
Though.
Yeah, so I stayed up and watched that, and then I earned most of it at least, and then I went to bed. This is middle of the night. Like, and you can't watch this. The game ended at what, 6 in the morning?
Something like that.
Somewhere, like, you can't go back. If you got to go to work, that's...
You're not getting a nice nap in, you know? It's like, all right,
no,
we're
you either
riding
have to
it.
Go to bed, like, right when you get home at, like, 6:30 or 7, and then wake up at 2.
Yeah, that's...
If you want to do that.
That's tough.
Now, game two would be easier because if you woke up for game one and watched it, you're going to be a zombie all day. You can fall asleep when you get home from work today as long as you have nothing to do. Then game two becomes a little bit easier.
Well, sticking in baseball, I was not aware of the comment the day that he signed his contract, but evidently one Colin Cowherd wondered aloud with Mike Trout, you wouldn't be recognized at a mall. Congratulations on the money and being irrelevant. And I thought there was a funny response on Twitter. Somebody had a tweet on the Fox Sports Radio quote of that and basically said if Trout had a bunch of tattoos, if he had an affair with an Instagram model, and then there was one more thing he had thrown in there. Oh,
so it was Eric O'Flaherty, who I think is now... I don't know where the hell he is now, but he's a Brave, a Mariner, and he's bounced around a ton.
Okay, yeah.
He said, if Mike Trout got tatted up, bleached his hair, threw on a gold chain, pimped every home run, and had an affair with an Instagram model, he would be 10 times more, quote-unquote, famous and recognizable at the mall. Maybe he's not the problem. Maybe we pay too much attention to a-holes.
And this is what we talked about in the NBA, wasn't it? All we care about is the negative attention with these players who are pouty and moody instead of focusing on the ones who are happy and just enjoying where they're playing, because you got a lot of them out there. It was an interesting comment about Mike Trout, because I just thought he's been irrelevant. If you want to say he's irrelevant, which I completely disagree with you on that front.
Yeah.
But if you want to say that, that's fine. clearly he's a guy that wants to be, and he just made $400 million being quote-unquote irrelevant. Is he really at fault for that?
Right, he's cool living a little bit south of L.A., making $400 million, beautiful weather, part of the community. Like, we're really going to make fun of him for this? Yeah, when you use the word irrelevant, it's ridiculous. It's laughable, and it's not true in any way, shape, or form. Now, there is a conversation to be had about why Mike Trout isn't more recognizable. Like, we did a poll question today. You know, who's to blame for Mike Trout not being more a bigger deal on the quote unquote national sports scene? And some people disagree with it and said, well, who's to say he isn't? He has more Twitter followers than Dame, like all of these kind of talking points. But I think the fact that is not good for baseball is that he is the unquestioned best player in your game. And he has been now for the last 7 years. And he doesn't show up on the 100 most recognizable athletes, according to ESPN. Like, that is a bit of an issue. If LeBron James, over the last 7 years, didn't show up on ESPN's most recognizable athlete issue, we would kind of wonder what's going on here. That's almost a hockey problem. Like, people don't know who Connor McDavid is, despite how talented and tremendous he is to watch. So
right.
I do think there's a conversation to be had about why is he not a bigger deal, but to act like he's relevant and he's unknown in the sports world, you're just missing the point. And again, you are projecting onto somebody what you think that they should do. Like, he is clearly happy being in that area, playing for that organization. He's beloved in the community. According to all people who cover the team, they say he's great with kids and he's great with charitable work around there. And he loves the way that that organization has treated him over the last couple of years that he's been there. And he wanted to reward him for that. Like, we should be applauding this of Mike Trout, that he didn't want to test the waters and demand a trade out of there.
Now, I've been one that long thinks baseball has dropped the ball and not going the NBA route in some regard of the name on the back of the jersey and the player matters because they wear hats. You can see their faces when right. you're at a game. Put them at the forefront, right? And Bryce Harper is obviously the number one in baseball with that. That being said, the term irrelevant, I don't know. I wouldn't say it bothered me, but it really kind of got me thinking of, like, in what way?
It's just dumb. It's tell not
me,
true. Like,
tell me a sports fan. Don't tell me anti-baseball guy. I don't care about those
even anti-baseball
people.
Guy knows who Mike Trout is.
And that's
is,
my
though.
Point is, like, how is he irrelevant? Because some guy or girl sitting somewhere that doesn't care about sports doesn't know who he is but knows the name LeBron James?
Right.
If that's your gauge, then I think you're completely missing the mark here. You are talking as a radio host, right? We are all talking to sports fans, whether they're more football, they like baseball, they love hoops, what have you. We're all talking to sports fans when we do this job. Who listening doesn't know who Mike Trout is?
Right.
And then I take it a step further. As much as it might be a problem for baseball of growing player brands and whatnot, how many true sports fans don't have any clue what he looks like? And that's where this whole argument kind of loses me. Baseball can improve on this front. When you use the word irrelevant, have fun being irrelevant. Well, is he irrelevant because he's not one of the three teams that you as a national radio host talk about, and that's the only three teams you talk about, Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox?
Right, or Phillies this year.
Okay, maybe the Phillies sure. with Harper. But if that's the reason, then say that. Don't tell me or sell me on how he's irrelevant. What sports fan doesn't know who Mike Trout is? And if you honestly text in a 55305, I borderline block your number because you're straight line.
You should at least know the name. You might not know how, you know, the stats, the specifics behind it, what he's accomplished or not accomplished in his career.
Well, you only you know the name because of how great he is. So right. I don't need numbers. Right. You know how great he is because you know his name.
Right. And I think this is it really should be a point of emphasis for baseball to do all they can to help him out in this regard. Like, I don't have any problem with.
I'll interrupt you there. I thought about that too. I've moved on from baseball because baseball will not change what they are and who they are. You know who controls this? Us. Colin Cowherd, Mike Francesa, ESPN radio shows. They are the ones that when they find out about a player, they can choose to then plug in and annoy people on a national level with the name.
Oh, sure. And he's not on that level and he never will be because he's not a negative storyline guy. They only talk about negative storylines.
So if you're going to blame, sure. there should be a portion of blame here for the media of not sure. going, dude, you're kind of the LeBron James right. of your era. You're a talent we haven't seen. You're an all-time great already. You're amazing.
instead, we're talking about Yasiel Puig pouting with a pop-up.
Well, I think it's a two-prong issue. First, one is Major League Baseball does need to make sure he's on national TV whenever you get the chance. The Angels are a good watch. Otani, if he comes back healthy this year, is going to be a national storyline. And Mike Trout should be, whenever you get a chance on those Fox Saturday games, Sunday Night Baseball, Wednesday Night Baseball, whatever the hell ESPN does nowadays on other national TV games, the Angels should be a team that you pick because Mike Trout is awesome to watch. And there are certain people, like myself included, and I know baseball is different than basketball. I get that, but I hate college basketball. I think it's slow. I think it's boring. It's tough for me to watch. This time of year, I get into it because it's the tournament and it's the couple of weeks out of the year that I'll follow it. But what team and what player have I followed now for a chunk of the season? Duke and Zion Williamson, because he's like that. It's not his personality. It's not anything that he does off the court. It's not what he does on Instagram. I just watch him and I'm amazed and I'm in awe when I see him on a basketball court. And I'll watch college basketball games that he's involved with. And I think you could get to that point with Mike Trout in baseball. This argument that, well, he only comes up to hit four times a game and maybe he doesn't make a play in the field, I don't necessarily buy into that. Like, his on-base percentage last year was .460. It means almost every other time he's on base, every other time he comes up, he gets on base. He steals a lot of bases. Like, there's going to be action in a game that Mike Trout is involved in. So Major League Baseball can do a better job, I think, of putting him on national TV more often. But what you really need to have happen if you want him to become a bigger name, and I brought this up yesterday, he has to win. Like, you just, when you go through the different levels of the playoffs in sports, you increase the viewership and you increase the attention tenfold. Like, to me, the prime example, this is a guy I brought up, is Kawhi Leonard. If Kawhi Leonard, his entire NBA career, had played for the Atlanta Hawks and maybe made the playoffs once or twice, but he's really good. He's averaging 29, 8-8. And you're like, damn, that guy's good. Hoopheads love him. He wouldn't be a national name. Nobody would know who the hell Kawhi Leonard is. But we know him because he was a finals MVP. He guarded LeBron James. He shut down LeBron James. They won a championship. And he was watched by how many millions of households because he played in the NBA finals. Like, when Mike Trout gets to that point, he'll be on that same level. He just hasn't had the opportunity yet.
So he says, but just think Otani was the story, not Mike Trout. He's a great player, but doesn't impact how much baseball I consume. Well, the other part of that, too, is when you get an international player coming over of that caliber.
He was a unique story last year because he was a pitcher-hitter. We haven't seen that in a long time.
So you got the international part. You got the multi-positional part. I think that's a big part of it as well. And I'm not going to refute people who sit here and tell me it's because he plays for the Angels. But here's the larger question I have then. Please tell me then what team he needs to be on to be relevant. Because I'll tell you this. I bet your list is like four teams long.
Yeah.
And then what? So all these other players in Major League Baseball, are we calling them all irrelevant then?
Yeah, if he's not on the Yankees, Red Sox, or Cubs, or Dodgers.
They're irrelevant?
Right.
That's kind of that's just weird to me.
Yeah.
Like, that's a national mentality versus just going, hey, I like baseball. I pay attention to baseball. I follow it.
He's amazing to watch. I want to watch him.
Right. His team might suck. They might be mediocre, what have you. He's still an amazing talent. There's only so many teams you can be on to say, quote unquote, irrelevant. Especially when you base it on team success.
Yeah.
Mike Trout, I don't know. I think he made the right choice. He gets to walk out in public and not be bothered. Sounds like a great life. $400 million and nobody knows who you are. Doesn't sound like a problem to me. Okay, we'll stick in Major League Baseball. The Portland Athletics lose last night to the Seattle Mariners. Yes, I am going to start doing this, despite Athletic fan who may get mad at me for it. I'm just going all in the fact that we're going to get the Oakland A's because their city has no idea what they're doing. So until they figure out their stadium situation, the Portland Athletics lost last night to the Seattle Mariners.
We'll see if they bounce back tonight.
Yeah. Fires wasn't very good. He left after three innings. But the M's start 1-0. We'll dive into some baseball stuff some more next.
Hey, we talked a little bit earlier about technology and how it's ruining Sprig's life currently. I have
technology and stuff.
I have another technology story I want to get to at crunch time that's going to ruin my life, and I'll tell you why. Do you know that Mike Trout was not the only guy that got paid yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Alex Bregman signed a six-year, $100 million extension with the Astros.
Bregman!
Does that do it for you? He's not going to be eligible for free agency until 2022. He had a good piece. Remember our buddy Ben Ryder who predicted the Astros World Series?
I do.
He still writes for SI, and he had a good feature piece on Bregman about how he is planning, now that he has signed his deal, he then inked a deal with Adidas right afterwards, and he is planning on making baseball cool again.
Okay.
Can Alex Bregman make baseball cool again?
No.
No, he can't do it.
Baseball will be what baseball is with or without Alex Bregman. I like watching him play. He's a fiery guy. I don't like the LSU roots because of the college baseball situation with Oregon State.
Ooh, you're still hung up about that stuff.
#NeverForget.
#NeverForget.
This is a good deal for him. In a world where if you're not Mike Trout or Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, like you're on that second or third tier of player, you're really good, but you're not quite to that level. You go get $100 million when you can go get $100 million.
Yeah.
And you don't wait for free agency because I think we've clearly learned JD Martinez last year.
Yeah, a lot of guys, yeah.
You'll be waiting a long time and you won't get what you think you will. You'll get $120, $150 million. Good deal. I think it's a good deal for both sides. I think Bregman can be the cornerstone. And he has kind of been the cornerstone of that franchise with Springer, Altuve, Carrera. And he's holding down the corner there at third base. Good deal. Good amount of money for him, and the Houston Astros don't have to worry about him for 6 years.
Yeah, the Astros are in an interesting spot right now. I can't remember Correa or Altuve's contracts off the top of my head, but that's kind of the guys. And Springer obviously has been there a little bit longer. Him and Altuve came in around the same time, but that's kind of their big four in their lineup, and they just locked up Bregman. The interesting part about them, though, and this is good, the full free agency and spending money thing eventually is going to hit them because all four of those guys are going to get big-time contracts.
Well, Altuve just signed last year.
He just signed last year. I knew that. But Correa, I think, was the one I wasn't sure about. But Verlander and Gerrit Cole are going to be free agents this upcoming season. So how much are they going to shell out, if at all, to keep their top two starting pitchers? So they're kind of in that weird situation right now because Cole's going to be able to get some money on the open market, I think, just because of his age and what he's done, especially what he did last year. Verlander's an interesting one because of how old he is.
I was gonna say, how old is he? Is he 34?
Verlander's 33? Getting up there, man.
As a starting pitcher, you only have so many years, obviously. So
Verlander is 36. Woo! I didn't realize he was that old.
He's not getting a monster deal.
But somebody's going to throw
him. I would be worried about him this year is what I would say.
A two-year deal. So watch out for that for Houston's future. But they signed Bregman to a nice little extension. There was another baseball note I wanted to get to. This one was really interesting. We just haven't necessarily seen something like this in a while. So one of the top prospects in all of baseball is Eloy Jimenez. He plays for the Chicago White Sox or will soon play for the Chicago White Sox.
He'll be the second best player behind Nick Madrigal.
And he's actually one of the guys that's in the heart of this or in the middle of one of these, why are you sending him back to the minors kind of thing? Because they announced a couple of weeks ago that they were going to send him back to AAA for a few games because he's quote unquote not ready.
Right.
Even though he was tearing the cover off the ball in spring. It was all to control the year, the whole arbitration process.
Just like with Vlad Guerrero Jr.,
it's BS, but they're doing it with him. But they have signed him to a contract extension before he even has taken one plate appearance in Major League Baseball. Yeah. This is like, I don't know, and somebody can tell me, I don't know if we've ever seen something like this before. They signed him to an 8-year deal worth up to $77.5 million. And it's going to be basically a 6-year deal with two club options. So the team can decide if they want to bring him back for year 7 and year 8. And according to the arbitration process, this year won't count. So he's going to be 1 year into his free agency. He's going to get a guaranteed $43 million out of this. He is 22 years old. So he just signed a contract that's going to lock him up until he's 30. Before taking a plate appearance.
That's an interesting move by him, but I guess it goes back to the Bregman thing. Do you want a chance getting to free agency and maybe you haven't been the player you thought you would be? And you look back and you have this, what, $77 or $80 million. You have this now, or you can go, I'm going to be amazing. I'll get $150 to $200 million when I hit the market. What if you're not? And then most you get is like 20.
It's a big risk reward. Like, he just got $43 million guaranteed, so you can't knock the kid at 22 for never having an at-bat. But
it strikes
a risk.
I think this is a smart move by Chicago. They clearly know how good the kid is, right? They're holding him back for the amount of years of control. And then when he comes back or when he comes up and he gets his first plate appearance, they trust how good he'll be. And by the way, down the road, you can extend. You can get extension. You can up this guy's salary a little bit and try to make him a lifelong Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, and if he doesn't pan out completely, it's still a movable deal because it's not that much money in today's day and age. So somebody else would be willing to take a chance on him. He is, according to Major League Baseball, they're like MLB Pipeline, he is the number 3 overall prospect behind Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Fernando Tatis Jr. of the Padres. So he is number 3, and he just signed an 8-year, $77.5 million deal. We'll see. We're going to look back on this one way or the other. Either brilliant by the White Sox to lock him up to a cheap deal for 8 seasons, or brilliant for Jimenez because he doesn't pan out and he got $43 million guaranteed.
Does spring training last too long in your opinion?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes,
it does. It's the preseason football stuff.
Way too long.
Because I saw a tweet yesterday, the Braves are taking the field against this in spring training, and I thought, can we just play the GD games already?
We've been doing this for about a month now. We're ready, okay? Can we start the year?
You know who your team is.
Can we start the year
Has
already?
Dallas Keuchel gotten a home?
No. But Kimbrel is close, apparently, with the Milwaukee Brewers. So keep an eye on that. I don't know why I said it that way.
Okay. Yeah. It wasn't good.
Catch you later, Jobin.
Got to be honest, it wasn't good.
So he's close to Milwaukee. Gio Gonzalez signed a minor league deal with the Yankees. Nobody else offered him a contract.
And nobody's signing Dallas Keuchel?
Nobody offered him a deal.
Can the Braves just give him $6 million for 1 year?
Hey, 1 year. Come on down, buddy. 1 year. I know Pirates fans were ticked that they didn't go after Gio Gonzalez because of how cheap it was. It's essentially a minor league deal.
I'm just ready for the season to start.
Amen to that, buddy. Amen to that. We're getting closer and closer. So there's some baseball notes for you. I have a technology note that I want to get to coming up at crunch time. This is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard, and I'll tell you what that is. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we have some NBA coaching news to get to, Statter story, of course, and then some more tournament talk. And the Blazers play Dallas. Dirk Nowitzki, potentially his last game in Portland. But technology talk next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, as low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. I was out at the Glorious House of Gaines this morning. Thanks, Matt. Well done. Movie news to get to in the final hour of the show. NBA coaching news, Statter story, Dirk Nowitzki, all of that still to come. I have something to categorize, though, in the worst idea I've ever heard.
You know, technology folder. And stuff.
Ooh, like this one is going to get thrown in my worst idea ever folder.
I think anything that doesn't involve a horse and buggy scares the living hell out of you. But go ahead. Continue with
what's going to... Let me yell at a cloud. Okay, I think old people and young people, or old souls and young souls, I think we're going to be able to unite on this, okay?
Okay.
I think this
I
is
said get off my lawn.
This is
going
to be a unifying experience here, okay? Are we ready for this?
Drop it on us.
Jesse Doherty.
Ooh, I love Jesse Doherty.
I believe he's a Major League Baseball writer for the Washington Nationals.
Duh.
He had this report on Monday that there were Major League Baseball officials at Washington Nationals camp on Monday. And they were workshopping a new communication device.
Okay.
Okay. Said communication device is for pitchers and catchers. And what it is a watch that is worn by the catcher and by the pitcher. The catcher, with his watch, will signal what pitch he wants the pitcher to throw, the location he wants him to throw it in. That message will then be relayed to the pitcher's watch. The pitcher will look at his watch. There's your new sign system.
They're not going to do this, though. They're not going to do it.
This is one of the worst ideas I have ever heard. There was a reporter from Yankees camp who said, I heard this as well, and they were trying them out, that there was a workshop at Yankees camp last week.
Sure.
Some said, quote, it seemed like it would slow down the entire process. And the writer, this was, I think, an article in the Big Lead is where I found it, and he brought up a funny point, said, at least baseball players will now mirror society that will go to a baseball game to watch pitchers and catchers staring at technology during a game.
Well, the problem with this is going to be, one, the comfort of the pitcher wearing a watch while wearing a glove and throwing a ball.
What if he disagrees? Does he have to send a no back and then the guy has to plug in a different...
You got a pitch clock. You only got 20 right. seconds to figure it out anyway.
So there's like a yes or no button on his
Maybe
watch.
Maybe it's the double thumbs up tap or the thumbs down tap on
it's
the
an
iPhone.
Emoji. He gives it an emoji, right?
Yeah.
Thumbs up or thumbs down.
Well, what happens when the foul tip comes back and it breaks the watch on the catcher's wrist? Do they have to take a long pause to go get a new iWatch?
All hell breaks loose. So now they want to take out mound visits as well. Does he just send the pitcher a text like, hey, breathe a little slower. We want to throw this guy inside.
Are you okay? Are you doing all right? Your game more than others for some reason.
Why?
They address all the wrong things, don't they? Oh, there's a competitive shift here now. They can shift, and it's not fair for our hitters. Let's talk about
banning. Go the other way.
Exactly. Hey, he's facing one guy and then subbing him out.
It takes too long.
Or he can just be a specialist, yeah, and we can move on and not care this much about bullpen changes. Hey, the pitch clock's not short enough. Nobody goes to these games and bitches about this out loud. And the people that are, they don't care about baseball. I don't understand. As much as I like Rob Manfred so far, he's going to bring us the Oakland A's or the Tampa Rays, and I'm going to want to give him a big fat smooch on the cheek for that. As much as I like it, as successful as they are in revenue building, they operate on the dumbest reactions I have seen in all of sports. Hey, some people don't like baseball and they're bitching about these things. You're right. That's the problem with our game. We need those 10 people. Wow. We need those 10 people.
The issue is, as far as pace of games, is your television partners, because it's the $3 billion local TV deal that the Angels have that can pay
Mike Trout's contract.
Mike Trout's contract. And if, you know, the Scott Borises of the world are wanting every last nickel available for the players, then if the TV partners and execs are saying, look, I can't go 315 with everything, let's get it back to 245, then that's what Major League Baseball is going to respond to.
Now, hold on, though. So what I would say,
the funny part about this, too, is it's not even necessarily a speed up the game. This is partially, too, they're trying to protect from quote-unquote sign stealing.
Which is,
change up your signs. Change up your signs.
Baseball's been going on for so long, and we're just now...
third sign. Go last sign. Go middle. Like, you can change that up and avoid it.
How about you just change signs up every game between pitcher, catcher? There's like three signs. It's really not that complicated with the catcher. The thing I would say, though, to Swag's point on the TV partners, do we really believe that 20 minutes is make or breaking their viewership? Because their local viewership numbers are actually doing pretty well.
Yeah, they were up last year.
I remember the Mariners 2 years ago, and they weren't amazing, but 2 years ago, the Mariners had like the fourth best viewership. We would make fun of their attendance numbers. They had some of the best viewership in their local affiliate of any team in Major League Baseball. So if you're going to go the TV route, and not that Swigard's not right on that, because maybe people are complaining via email or writing letters in. I don't know if I believe it, though. I need to see the evidence for it, because they do really well in their local markets. So who's really complaining here about all that stuff?
I don't know, man.
Because we put these poll questions up. We do Facebook posts, or if we talk about baseball, we'll get the text line. The guy who hates baseball will let you know he hates baseball.
Sure.
And that's fine. You want to be that person? Be that person. But there's only like three of you. Like, if I'm being honest, not that there's only three people that don't like baseball, but there's only three of you that comment and tell us you hate baseball so much that you need to text or tell us.
Right, and we get that with other sports, too. Some people hate football. Some people are like, why are we talking about the NBA? Like, you get
100%,
that.
100%, yeah.
I just thought of this when I saw this story. I first laughed, and then, like, doesn't everybody has that at their work where you have that one person and you wonder, like, what do you do here? Like, why do you make that much? Like, what is your job for? Like, we have somebody at corporate that does stuff with like social media sometimes, and we're like, what?
And she makes double what you and I make combined.
Like, what, you know, like,
let me tell you how to post a picture on Facebook.
So that was my first thought with this was like, who at Major League Baseball is like a higher up that's making good money, just rolling in it probably because he's working in the, you know, baseball executive office. And he comes up, Rob, I got a great idea. How about we put a watch on the catcher and the pitcher, and they signal back and forth on their watch? Like, who comes up with this idea? Sells it, and now they're actually workshopping it with Major League Baseball teams?
It's a good point. Brent says, oh, God, the Wi-Fi goes down during the World Series. Think of the conspiracy.
And then there's a rule where you can't visit the mound, so you don't know what he's going to throw, what's happening here. Somebody's going to cut the
gotta
wire.
Don't worry about people getting ideas from Dick Tracy comic books.
Like, what is going on?
Well, and one listener bringing up that point says, you guys are crazy if you don't think having games last 245 instead of 315 would be better for attendance and viewership. And look, this is just going to be a point of disagreement, and that's A-okay. But football games last 3 hours and 20 minutes. Basketball games, a little shorter, but like you have other sports that last 3 hours, sometimes 4 hours.
Hell, soccer's got the shortest games of all, and their MLS ratings are terrible.
So I'm not convinced that 20 to 30 minutes is make or breaking attendance or viewership numbers.
Yeah.
as a parent, I'm already programmed to know that my entire day's schedule is 20 to 30 minutes different than what I want it to be. So if I'm going to a baseball game with my kids, especially a night game, you know what you're getting yourself into. Don't tell me that 20-minute difference is make or breaking. You went to a night game with kids. If that game goes 25 minutes longer than it should, that's kind of on you. It's a baseball game.
Yeah.
There's a chance that happens.
The chance it goes long. So they are workshopping watches for catchers and pitchers to wear to signal to each other.
Well, and somebody else, tech never gets hacked.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Vladimir Putin's going to be calling pitches in the World Series.
Too many George Costanzas out there. They need cotton.
They need cotton uniforms. That's right. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, no judgments. Don't forget to take advantage of the $1 enrollment in the month of March and enter for a trip to Las Vegas. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we have some tournament talk to get to as it continues tonight, including a Pac-12 team. Dirk Nowitzki may be making his last appearance at the Moda Center tonight, so we'll get to that. We got Statter Story coming up at 2:15. A couple of NBA coaching news notes that I want to get to. Also, movie news. Is there any chance this ends well? Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.